follow the messages on screen, the wooden audio of natural navigation becomes available. This station will now see you on the
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast. Here are your hosts, Cam and Kobe.
Hello and welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast, episode number 4. My name is Kobe, and with me, as always, is Cameron.
That's me.
That's you. What's happening today?
Well, we're going to be talking about some more bug out stuff.
We are.
Not bug out bags, though.
No, we've actually already talked about bug out bags.
Nope. So, episode 4. We want to talk about the location that you have planned to use your bug out bag, or, you know, be ready.
Where are you headed? Where are you going to bug out to?
Secret. It's top secret.
You're not going to tell us?
No.
You're not going to reveal your location?
I don't have the best location yet.
Oh, you don't?
I've been looking at a few.
Okay. That's good.
So, yeah, we've got a good article that we're going to kind of go off from that talks about essential qualities of your secret setup.
Yeah, that's from skilledsurvival.com. It's a pretty cool little article, so we'll
go
over
that.
It is a
really good article.
Right. What else we got going on today?
We don't have any reviews for you, I'm sorry.
No. But we do have one coming up next week, actually.
We need to...
Shout out to Grail. That's G-R-A-Y-L. They have a pretty sweet little ultralight bottle water purifier.
Yeah.
And they sent that. We got that yesterday, and I was looking at the thing. Man, that thing looks pretty sweet.
It does look really cool.
So we're going to...
Pretty interested in playing with it.
Yeah, so we're going to get a review on the website as well as the next podcast.
Yeah.
Right?
And then we got mission what? A battle box are going to break down.
Yeah, mission 17. We should have it by then, I think.
We should be playing with it and get you a good review on that as well.
Yeah. Is that all we got today?
We got a quick medical tip after all this.
Oh, yeah.
Like always.
Awesome. So, hey guys, today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/casualpreppers podcast. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. That's audibletrial.com/casualpreppers podcast.
Perfect.
Okay, so now that we have that, it's time to move on.
It's a mad, mad world.
What do you got today, Cam?
You want me to go
first? I want you to go first. I'm so excited.
Okay.
I am just so excited to hear what you got going on.
Well, this isn't exciting for the poor people of West Virginia.
Oh, man.
Those floods?
Yeah.
They're bad. They're really bad. Like, some of the worst flooding since 2010.
Since Noah.
Basically.
Yeah.
So, 23 lives have been lost. Well, one is missing. There's 22.
Uh-huh.
And then over 1,500 homes destroyed.
Oh, my gosh.
And, yeah, it's horrible. They figure $36 million in road damage. I mean, floods like one of the worst things, I think.
Yeah, man.
I'm glad that
takes
I really haven't
out.
Had to go through any of that. Because it's just a simple flood in my basement, and I just freak out.
Yeah,
I've had it happen twice.
You had that happen once when you were out of town, remember?
Yep. And my wife.
And I was here
was
trying
not happy that I was
to help you clean that up.
But just as simple as a basement, and it was an unfinished basement, and it caused so much damage, and there was nothing down there but just storage crap.
Exactly.
And, I mean, floods are just devastating.
Take
your house. I mean, you could lose everything and all your stuff stored in the basement. Boom, it's gone.
Yeah. How many? 15,000 houses?
1,500 homes
destroyed,
but there's been like 5,000 that have reported damage and everything.
So that's 1,500 people that can't be at their house anymore.
You know
what I mean?
That if they had a good storage only there, that sucks. But if they had their bug outs, you know?
Exactly.
So you have to have both things. I mean, you can't always expect to have your basement, which is kind of freaky.
No, and that's the thing. You're hoping that you can stay in.
Or have a way that it's pretty much kept safe from most elements, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's mine.
That's bad, man.
It can happen anytime, and it's middle of summer, and that sucks.
Yeah, exactly. That's bad. Okay, so mine, Hillary versus Trump.
That's the worst thing.
This is the best and the brightest that we could come up with, right? I mean,
I guess so.
Blows my mind. Okay, I know there's going to be a lot of people listening right now that are going to be like, hey, man, Trump is the guy. And okay, maybe that's true, but I am less convinced right now.
No kidding.
That, you know what I mean? I just see that maybe things are going to be a little sketchy for a while.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Either way, I'm worried. Either way, I'm buying ammo and food.
Everybody should be very worried.
Yeah. Well, then they just announced today that there's most likely not going to be any prosecution of Hillary.
I know. I like that. Let's just wipe it off.
Yeah, you know.
It's okay if you lie.
Well, if it's her, it's okay. Right?
That's unbelievable.
Anyways, this is...
I saw that.
That's my Mad Mad World update, because I just think it's
insane.
So
our whole country is just a Mad Mad World.
It is. Freaking A, man. And I know we're probably going to get some emails from people saying, hey, Trump is the guy. He's the guy. And I hope he is. But I'm,
well, he's the only guy on the Republican side. I mean,
I know.
Nothing else.
I know. I just don't feel like he is the savior of the world as a lot of people do. You know?
No.
Okay. Anyways, Mad Mad World update. That's all done. Do you want to get into this article then?
Yeah, let's do it.
You ready?
Let's do it.
Like we said, from skilledsurvival.com, bug out location, 7 essential qualities for your secret setup. And that's the thing. It's secret, man.
It needs to be secret.
It needs to be only told to your closest confidants.
Yep. Completely covered in duct tape camo.
Camo duct tape. Mm-hmm.
Duct tape camo.
Yeah. So let's start out. They go through 7 advanced tips to finding an ideal bug out location. And the first thing they talk about is do your research. Make sure you know what's going on.
Yeah.
And number one is bug out location distance.
I think that needs to be number one.
Yeah, I agree. And this is an issue that's going to vary from person to person, like, a lot.
Yeah. If you're in Mexico City, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know what you're going
to
do.
There's a good chance you're going to have to burrow underground or
something. I mean, really, because in a really, really dense, you know, population center, it's hard to get away from people.
Yeah.
Like, you have a long ways to go. Yeah.
If you don't already feel claustrophobic... Wait until something goes crazy.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, on that Mad Mad World, I just wanted to bring that back up.
Uh-huh.
They had they'd issued a thing from the Sheriff's Department about warning about looters.
Oh, really?
So it's just like, even now.
Did they have a problem? Did you hear? Was there a problem?
I tried to find if they really did. I mean, but the citizens were like, you know, you're going to be meeting a shotgun.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
West Virginia.
They're West Virginians, yeah. So they don't have time for that.
That's just a whole other aspect of that, of why to be prepared for, even if it's not at your location, you know what I mean? There's all these people that are displaced, and they're going to try and take advantage of those situations.
So don't think everybody's going to be trying to take care and help each other. Yeah. It's definitely not going to happen.
But hopefully that's not the case. You know, hopefully it's everybody's helping each other.
It should.
That's what we should be doing.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, back to what we were talking about. So bug out location distance, and they go into two distinct issues on this. Number one is your entire bug out travel distance. And so what they're talking about is how long does it take you
find that location?
How far is it from your house to your location?
Right.
Right?
Do you need to drive? Mm-hmm. Are you walking? Are you flying?
You're flying, jeez.
Yeah, you won't be flying.
Well, you could be.
Well, you could. I've seen some guys with those little...
Yeah, those dudes are
serious.
There's
one that flies around here all the time.
Yeah. And then the second one is your bug out location distance from dense populations. So it's two separate things, obviously. And like I said, that aspect is going to be different from person to person.
It is.
Where we are here, we're not in a very big city. And we're actually really isolated. We are hours and hours away from a dense population.
Yeah, we really are. We really don't have to work very hard to get away from.
2.5 hours away from a city, like a real population center?
We really are, yeah.
So, and then this...
Any major interstate is at least 2 hours.
Exactly.
2.5 hours.
So we're actually kind of, we're lucky here.
We are.
Like, I think really we could go in a car, 15 minutes and be somewhere where we're kind of isolated.
Yeah.
You know?
You'll probably die in that area though, because
why?
It's just desert and there's nothing to live on.
Nah, if you go the opposite direction. Nah, anyways. So I guess that, you know, that's two things you need to think about. And it has a quote here from Survival Mom that says, most major road arteries will be closed and patrolled by law enforcement and National Guard elements with orders to stop, search, and detain or turn back anyone they find. So plan your routes well, have at least 3 routes out, and make sure you go for a drive and check them out on a regular basis. And so I think that's something a lot of times you don't really think about.
Well, they're going to try and keep you in, you know.
Yeah.
Most often you would think.
Yeah.
What's the Walking Dead spinoff?
Fear of the Walking Dead.
Fear of the Walking Dead. You know how the military, like, kept them all in their houses. And, I mean, that could very easily happen.
Yeah, and like I said, this will vary from situation to situation. Whatever happens is, you know, that's... So,
I'm avoiding those routes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm
going
to be like a smuggler.
And like he's, and like it says here, have three routes out to your bug out location.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
That sometimes can be difficult. I think it's a little difficult here.
Yeah, you've got straight sheer rocks in certain directions.
Yeah, so we'd have to... Sure. It's something we really have to look at.
Yeah.
And then, it, like she says here, make sure you go for a drive and check them out on a regular basis.
Yeah, I think that's important. There's a lot of stuff on the on a trail that could be useful and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, okay, there's a few things in here I have a little bit of an issue with. It goes into saying if you're walking, then you need to try and keep it within a 5-day total travel distance at a max of about 12 miles a day.
Jeez.
I don't think
it's a pioneer.
No,
pioneers
like,
travel.
You gotta
like
bring your hand cart with you or something. I just don't.
How many people died traveling like 15 miles a day?
Yeah, I think that's too much. I think and like I said, it's gonna vary because some people that's just what it's gonna be.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to get that far. But
and like we've talked about your bug out bag. I mean, once you know your route and know your location, you gotta customize somewhat. You can't just go off the basics because if you, I mean. You're going to be walking 12 to 13 miles, you're going to deplete quite a bit of your bug out bag.
Yeah. So 5 days, I mean, are, you know.
5 days, geez.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, the regular recommendation is a 3-day bag, you know. But that's what I said. You have to make sure it's catered to whatever you're doing or wherever
you're
going.
Yeah, you
need to
know that. You got to have your plan.
So it has to be, yeah, you have to have your plan up or really, you know, your bug out bag isn't going to be sufficient a lot of times.
Yeah.
So, but
or at least have some spots to hit on the way, you know.
Yeah,
like a little place to.
Well, there's a lot of people. Yeah, there's a lot of people that do survival caches, you know. And I think that wouldn't be a bad idea if you if you're really positive on your bug out location.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
you know exactly where you're going. You could go.
Had an old pistol, bury it down in there.
Well, I mean, really, I would think water and food. It'd be an old pistol.
Just a pistol.
Okay. All right. Well. Whatever you think, King. So it also goes on talking about if you're going to be driving, to try and make it within one tank of gas away.
Yeah.
You know, and this goes to a few different things I was thinking about, too. You know, a lot of people say, you know, don't go under a half tank of gas ever.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good.
I know. I was actually really thinking that same thing. I do try and always keep above a half a tank.
I try to. My wife does not ever try to do that.
She keeps it above an eighth of
tank. No. She tries to keep it right at the line so as soon as I get in, the little low fuel light comes on. Yeah. Every single time I get in that car.
It's just the door shuts.
Yeah. Bing, bing. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Parks it up on the curb so that the gauge doesn't. I don't know.
I got to get her to change that habit.
No.
Seriously.
E means energy. Full energy.
Oh, my gosh. So anyways, and then also it says, you know, if you're going to be going further than one tank.
I should have a thing of gas in my garage always full.
Yeah, have a long-term fuel storage plan.
Yeah,
you know?
Really, because that fuel can be used in so many different ways.
Like, I would think you'd want to have at least, you know, a tank of fuel stored somehow.
Yeah.
You know, and there's proper ways to store it, because you could obviously having 20 gallons of gas in your...
I know.
In your garage can be a little
farms,
dangerous.
Farms, man.
Oh, farm. Yeah, I mean,
my parents.
Yeah. Oh, so you grew up on a farm, so you always.
I would
fuel.
Guard that sucker like a. Yeah. Yeah. So we had two tanks. We had, you know, like 200-gallon tank of diesel and a 200-gallon tank of gas.
Of gas.
So it's just like those. I mean, people know that.
Yeah.
Well, they do now. Because we have like a billion listeners.
So what's your address?
But you know those tanks. You know farmers.
Yeah.
Would guard those suckers.
You know, that's a good thing.
Crazy.
If you know a farmer or if you are a farmer, obviously you're going to have those.
They have ways to store it. Or, you know, we have a trucking company, too, that's right by us. Like, by my parents. I'm like, man, they got it set for fuel.
Oh, that's right, huh?
Those semi.
Yeah. Or, you know, there's a lot of people, like my dad, he's got a fuel tank, an extra fuel tank in the back of his truck, like a toolbox.
I think
that,
tank.
Those are awesome.
Those are. That's why I want,
And this goes again to another podcast episode that we're going to have to do in
the
future.
We do want
to
do one.
Is bug out vehicles.
Yeah, I think that'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be a blast to do. But, you know, So these are all things we can be thinking about. But right now, let's not talk about bug out fields.
Right.
That will get us off on another tangent.
So you think, yeah, location, distance,
yeah,
fuel, if you're going to be driving,
yep,
and what,
how far it is,
detail
walking,
or what things you need to have in your bug out bag for how far you need to go.
Exactly. And like I said again, a 5-day distance for walking, it's too much. I don't care what anyone says.
Well, even if you get there and you need,
jeez,
supplies,
good Lord, you're going to be dead by the time you get there. Look, I mean, like it's, I know it's hard for people because, like you said, someone who lives in the middle of Mexico City.
Jeez Louise, yeah.
What do they do? I mean, I think you move, man.
I know.
You move. You don't live there if you don't have to.
I know. It's just, oh, yeah.
Anyways, so that's number one. So number one was bug out location, distance. So that's the first thing you need to think about. So number two is something preppers are always thinking about. Always, yeah. always. It's always usually number one, and that's water.
I guess we didn't really mention it on the first part was, uh-huh, he talked a little bit about buying property.
Yeah.
If you don't actually have a location that you know is, you know, unused, but we can talk about that towards the end too.
Yeah, we'll talk about, yeah, that's true.
There's a little more detail.
You know, he talks about, yeah, we'll go back into that when we get closer to the end. Okay, Cam, don't get me.
Well, I'm just saying, jeez, it was in that spot.
Good hell, Cam, I'm getting all messed up now.
You shouldn't. It
you
was
know
clear
that I got a
one-track
mind.
We all do.
So water, that's number two.
The availability of water.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Cameron?
It's true.
What do you think? It's true. That's what you think
These
about it?
These words are true.
These words we're speaking.
Well, yeah, you know, you've got what you have for 3 days, hopefully, in your bug out bag, but... Yeah.
Or longer.
Whatever's going to go down isn't going to end in 3 days, I doubt.
No, probably not.
Okay, I can head back into town.
If you're actually bugging out to a bug out location, yeah, it's probably going to last longer than 3 days.
So
right?
You need to have availability of water either stored in that location or ponds, lakes, rivers.
Mm-hmm. You know. A way to get some, yeah. And something you were talking about earlier is you noticed that a place we were talking about as a bug out location actually had a rain catchment system.
Right. Yeah, it does. Yeah. So it's actually the Forest Service building, like visitor center.
Yeah.
The whole roof I've noticed is built for catching rain.
So, I mean, those are good things. I mean, that's a whole other topic on itself. It's some, like, you know, being aware of all these things around you, situational awareness, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
where did you went this weekend? Was it a fire watch tower?
Yeah.
That would be a sweet spot.
That actually would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I don't know about the water out there. But yeah, it's a fire watch tower out in the middle of
it. It's amazing looking.
Oh yeah, it is. It's awesome. It's elevated off the ground. For zombie survival, that place is like
anything.
Fort Knox, man.
There's nothing can really get. I mean,
yeah.
Even for humans, unless they had.
It's off the beaten path. Like,
could fire a grappling hook on top.
Yeah,
there really isn't a better way to get up there than through those.
And it's
stairs.
A fire watch tower, so you can actually see in every direction, like 20 miles or something like that. So you've got really good vision. And that's something we'll talk about later on too. But
it's good vision.
Good vision, right?
Yeah, you really do need to kind of know your.
Yeah. So know if you need to have water storage there, if you have to go there and actually physically store water at your bug out location,
right?
Or if you have a spring. I mean, obviously that's ideal,
right?
If you have a spring. And so that's a good thing to learn about your area. Where are all these springs at? You know, where can I get that good fresh water? And
right.
And
ours too, you know, in our location, you know, we're going to get snow.
Yeah. Yeah.
No matter what.
A lot
so,
of snow.
So, you know, relying on what, you know, you should prepare probably more for that, but
yeah.
But thinking, you know, I've got a few months where I can collect snow and good water that way. So, you know.
Yep, water is just, it's always, should be like the first thing on your mind, you know? Seriously.
Sustain, that's the only thing.
And something else that goes into here is how reliable is the water source? You know, is it seasonable? Is it seasonal? Or is it available all year, you know?
You're right.
You know, because like, if you go up near us, Dry Fork Canyon,
yeah,
it has a roaring river for like a few months of the year.
And then it's dry as a bone.
It's gone. That's why it's called Dry Fork. It's just not there. So that's,
well, like, even we went up on the mountain with my family and there's ponds up there, but they're man-made and they're just full of algae and everything. I mean, they're not going to last if they're not, you know, if they're not set up.
Do those ponds up there, are they stocked?
They are.
They are. They have fish.
Yeah.
On the
property.
And
that whole thing's gated. I mean, it's not a
nice location.
You know, not a huge Arizona,
yeah,
Mexico type of border, mm-hmm. but it is a gated.
It is
thing
gated.
To keep.
Yep.
People walking in there, but
and that's another thing.
That's a private area too.
Is they don't really go into this too much in this article, but for us, a lot of you know, can you stay there year round?
Yeah.
I've got a spot that I've always thought about. It's a place that I grew up when I was a kid. It's a lodge up, way up in the Uintas. But the elevation is like 10,300 feet.
Yeah.
And you get up there, man, nobody's going to be there. Yeah. I mean, it's way out there, and you could isolate yourself. But about 6 months out of the year, you have at least 6 feet of snow.
Yeah, it gets... I've seen pictures extremely high, the snowfall.
So that's something you have to think about. Yes, maybe, you know, 4 or 5 months out of the year, that is really ideal. Like, you couldn't pick a better spot. But once that snow hits, you know, you're...
If you don't have everything perfectly prepared for that,
yeah,
you'll die.
Yeah, you're not going to make it. So maybe you have several.
Even getting
bug
out of there, you know.
God. Oh, yeah.
That could be a bad
scenario. Yeah, it's 19 miles back to a road. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a dirt road up to there, but like a somewhat of a main county road. You know, it's 19 miles. So
that's another thing, too. You know, like if you're all prepared and everything, but, you know, you've positioned yourself 50 miles from a town, what mm-hmm. happens when you use everything up and you need supplies?
Yeah.
Traveling back is going to cost you. Yeah. So you've got to kind of try and, you know, what do you need if you have medication needs?
Yeah.
If you don't have enough or a way of getting, you know, you do kind of think about where each town is and how to, you know, access that town safely. And
yeah, they're all just
those different things. You got
so many different things you have to think about, and I'm sure we're going
to
go into those in
future
podcasts.
I know,
there's
so much more detail
to
break off on, but...
Yeah. So, anyways, water, very important. Number three, keeping your bug-out location secured and concealed.
Camo duct tape.
Yeah, like Cam said, camo duct tape. So I guess that sort of depends on where you're at and what you have at your bug-out location. Do you have a cabin? Do you have just a small shelter? Do you have an RV? Are you just going to be living in a tent? You know? So that's...
We live in the West, so the West Coast is, you know, I haven't even been to the East Coast, but from what I understand, you know, you can't see your neighbor that's like...
Oh, yeah.
...right next to you because it's just so
everything's
dense.
Everything's so dense and
here,
thick.
You can see the town you're going to, but it takes you another 2 hours to get there.
And I guess that sort of depends on
the
area.
So it's hard to hide a little bit more so out, and you know, where we are.
Yeah. But we can get up there in the pines and you could hide if you needed to. But anyway, so that's something to think about. And this is a quote from Survivalist Prepper, which these dudes we like a lot. Anyways, even if you live in a semi-rural or rural area, the smell of your cooking will carry very far, in some cases more than a half a mile away. You start cooking that bacon, man, every guy within a half mile is going to be like, oh, they got bacon.
I know. Yeah, who hasn't been out hunting or...
Those bastards got pigs.
I smell coffee.
Cooking it. Yeah, exactly.
So far away, and the camp isn't even... Yeah, it's just crazy.
Exactly. So that's something you need to think about.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know what you do, but if I got bacon, I'm cooking that bacon. I don't care what happens.
Right.
Right. And then it also goes into defending your bug-out property. He says you don't want to be in a poor defensive position to protect the land should a group of bandits decide to attack.
Yeah.
You know, obviously this is like worst case scenario, bandits coming to attack your bug out location. You know, most likely that's not going to happen. But.
And the key point, it's probably best to avoid conflict in the first place.
Yes. Yeah, they actually do go in that. Yeah. It's best to try to avoid conflict in the first place. You did that word for word.
I did.
Good job.
So back to concealment, right?
Well, this is what Prep for SHTF said. Defending your bug out location or safe haven and possessions during a crisis is new territory for most people. And if you don't have specific training in defense or offense tactics, then it's likely you will lose your supplies or even your life if you try and barricade yourself inside to fight it out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is it worth dying if you're not, you know, if you don't have those skills? Just let it go, man, you know?
And just make a dummy bug out bag.
Yeah.
When somebody comes here, man.
Make a dummy stash. Seriously, that's a tactic, is make a dummy stash of, you know, a few cans of food. Say, that's what I got, dudes. You know?
True. That's a good idea.
Take it. See ya. You know? And then, your other stuff is under the ground 10 feet where no one can get it.
Dummies.
Idiots. Yeah. So that's something to think about. And another thing to think about, like it says here, people are drawn to water, and most likely your bug out location is going to be near water.
Mm-hmm.
So you should expect people to be coming at some point.
We talked a little bit about that too, mm-hmm. like Flaming Gorge that we live by.
Yeah.
Massive body of water,
lots
of
huge reservoir.
Fish, you know, and it's going to be busy.
It's going
to
be hopping.
So being next to it would be perfect, but there's going to be a lot of people.
Yeah, so that's just everything that you've got to take into consideration. Is it worth it? Is it not worth it?
Yeah.
What are you going to do, you know? I say try and avoid it if you can, if it's going to be, you know. If there's
you know,
be
meeting people is not always the worst thing in the world.
No, it's not.
You know. I don't think the world's going to be like most video games.
I don't think so. You don't think so?
I don't know. Depends.
As I've been preparing for that world for a long time.
I know. But it's just like you see somebody, instant engagement, firing and shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most likely that's not going to be.
Well, you would hope not.
I hope
well,
it
depends on who gets voted in. I mean, I'm just kidding.
I don't. Who gets voted in? Is it going to? I don't
it's
know.
It's not going to change
anything. Which way? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was number three. What's number four, Cameron?
Self-reliance opportunities.
So what's
can
that
you grow
about?
A farm?
Can you? Yeah. Can you grow crops? Is there soil?
Can
that
you keep sheep?
Sheep
on your property?
Yeah, I would
not sheep specifically, but I mean,
I don't.
Are there
like
animals
mutton.
Available?
I don't like mutton all that much.
Mutton.
But yeah. What do
can
you have?
Can you grow
there?
A farm?
Yeah. Can you grow a farm? Can it support chickens?
Yeah.
Is there a wild game? Is there fish?
Yeah.
Because I think
so
that's,
you need to think about what opportunities your bug out location has.
Yeah, because I think an
I mean
ideal,
you got your water, but if you can't grow anything, there's no game within. You know, you mm-hmm. have to really go out and try and find, or you know, or you're up 15,000 feet.
Yeah,
you know, it's gonna, growing's going to be a little different.
You don't want to be above the timberline.
No.
Most likely. So, yeah, you're going to most likely want to be somewhere where you have something to hunt and something to fish, yeah. I would think. I mean, because you can't, your food
unless
storage
you have
is only going to last so long.
Thousands of tack bars.
Yes. If you go, I mean, that's, you could do that. You
yeah.
could just go
you
buy
could. You really could.
Hundreds of boxes of tack bar. And
we suggest doing so, but
yeah,
go might ahead be a little that. Costly.
Yeah, it will. I mean, have some tack bars, obviously.
You should definitely have those.
But yeah, it's not going to be a long-term solution.
Yeah,
it's
but definitely, not. Yeah, knowing all that stuff.
And I mean, another aspect of that is, do you know how to hunt? Do you know how to fish?
Do you know how to grow anything?
Do you know how to grow anything?
Do you know what things to grow?
Do you know what's edible?
That's another thing is, you know, we'll probably get into is, you know, we got that seed, those
seed vault.
Yeah. That mm-hmm. was awesome.
Very awesome.
So, you know, have some seeds that are going to keep on giving.
Yes. The gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's, anyway. You need to know how to
could
do
even
that
grow
stuff.
Them.
Skills. I mean, skills is, that's half the battle there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Knowing how to do these things.
So, yeah.
So, yep. Absolutely. Number
just
four.
Print out a bunch
self-reliance.
Of YouTube stuff.
Print
can't
out.
Print that out.
You can't print out YouTube
print out.
Videos. I mean, you can, but
I mean,
each frame is, yeah, never
not going to have that.
Anyways, okay, so back to what Cam was saying before. Number five is land property costs. So we didn't really get into this in the beginning, but he said there's...
But it was mentioned in the beginning.
It was, and I glossed over it, and I apologize. I'll never do it again.
Okay.
Land property costs. So what he said was, you know, you kind of have two options. You can buy some property, or you can look for like some public land or some land where you can go to bug out. And obviously, the first option is your best because you can keep going back to that property and you can make upgrades.
Build whatever you want on
and,
it.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want with that property.
Kobe knows. Kobe's been trying to find a farm.
I actually have been looking for property. I was looking yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
But it's expensive. Any way you look at it,
yeah.
You know, it's expensive.
And you've got to sacrifice to get certain things you want. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yep. So, you know, and most likely the best bug out locations, like it says, they're just going to cost more. That's all. Hopefully
your family already has some sweet setup up in the hills.
Exactly. Or your wife's family.
Or my wife's family, yeah.
Yeah. Either way, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And then number six, and we're going to kind of gloss over these a little quick, is the government red tape for the land. So that kind of just goes into...
sweet private location that's covered in red tape.
Yeah, you don't want that. You don't want that. So zoning requirements and things like that, you need to check what your zoning allows. You know, if it's, you know, R1, I guess it depends on per county, but just make sure that you can raise animals or you can dig a well or you can do those things you want to do or build whatever you want to build. Because otherwise, you're not really doing yourself any favor, right?
Yep.
Okay, and what's number seven, Cameron?
Location and natural threat potential.
Natural threat potential. What's that supposed to mean, Cameron?
Well, for us, wildfires are horrible.
Wildfires.
And easy and can happen at any point, and they're probably happening right now.
There is actually one, well, I guess it wasn't really.
There's always somewhere burning.
There was one
most
last
of our summer is like brown skies.
Yeah, reddish skies.
Awesome looking mornings, but
horrible
air quality.
Yeah, so we do have wildfires quite frequently. California goes through this a lot.
Fault lines, you know.
Fault lines, yeah.
We don't, I mean, the Wasatch Front I think is the worst, but
yeah,
we would definitely suffer.
We would suffer. Well,
we'd feel it.
And it could be actually an indirect.
Yeah.
You know, they have an issue out there that affects, you know, food getting out here.
Yeah,
another way to look at that. But yeah, so they're talking about, you know, is it a high risk zone for
floods.
Any sort of natural disaster? You don't want to get your bug out location in a flood zone.
In a marsh, yeah. Let's build it right in the middle of the...
Yeah, it's not ideal in any way.
Right in the middle of the Green River.
Yeah. You know, is
hopefully it doesn't flood. The dam will hold, I think.
damn better hold. Is it in Tornado Alley? You know what I mean? Is there tornadoes, you know, you guys out there in the Midwest? Flood zones, that's obviously not good. So these are things you need to think about. And I think a lot of that goes to what I was saying before, you know, is there potential for blizzards, a ton of snow?
Yeah, droughts.
Droughts, yeah. I mean, that's something we would have to think about here.
Yeah. Or even, the winters can be severely cold.
Yeah. So, I mean, you just really have to look at every angle.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of angles.
Sure is.
sure is.
There sure is a lot of angles.
And then he goes into, you know, places you can find private bug out locations for sale. I'm not really going to go into that.
That's pretty cool that it's all detailed in there, though.
Yeah, they go into a lot of different things. He actually, like, walks you through some websites, landwatch.com.
Oh, they even have a link for good bug out vehicle.
Do they?
Don't check that out because we're going to get to it.
Yeah. And then he goes in to find where you can find some public bug out land options.
Yeah.
See, out here where we live in Utah, and I think Utah is like the second, I mean, the state that has the second most government owned land.
Yeah.
So I think we're at like 65% of Utah.
Yeah, it is. It's huge.
So there is so much public land that I don't really worry about that too much because there's, I mean, you can pretty much go anywhere around us and it's public land.
It is.
You know, but back east in a lot of different states, that's kind of an issue. They have to, you know, there's a lot of private land. So he kind of goes into a few places you can go and find out where these public lands are. I'm not going to get into that either.
Yeah, there's a lot of that though.
Yeah.
A lot of good links on here.
Yeah, there absolutely is. And so, I mean, that's kind of the gist of that whole article there. I thought it was a good article.
It was a really good article.
Yeah, did you like it?
I did.
You enjoyed it?
I thought it was a great article.
Yeah, good.
You know what?
Yeah.
That's why we did a podcast on it.
Is that why we did it?
We will.
Because you liked it?
Yep.
Because you liked it.
I'm going to blog about it. I think I'm going
to
blog about it.
Are you? You still need to get
at some point.
You still need to get out your previous blog article that you haven't.
The 4th of July was rough.
It was. How was everybody's 4th of July, by the way?
Yeah, you better have been thankful you're an American.
Gosh dang, yeah.
Even though our country has issues,
yeah, it does.
We are mother effing.
We're still the best
Americans.
We're still the best. I don't care what anyone
best
says.
Best country.
You know what I mean?
In the freaking world.
Yeah, it's no doubt. So I hope you guys had a really good 4th of July because I had a good one. I went camping.
With
the family.
Too.
You did too.
Yeah,
well,
I did.
Sort of camping.
Mine wasn't as rugged.
Yeah.
I don't know. It kind of was.
Was it?
Yeah.
Your bed wasn't soft enough.
I had a roof.
You did have a roof.
But yeah.
And you had a bed.
Yeah, I did.
So that doesn't sound like camping at all.
Okay.
I just got to tell you, that doesn't.
All right, whatever.
Okay. Hey, Cam, I think it's time for...
It's time for the quick and dirty medical tip.
Are you ready for this
week? I am.
You are?
Okay. I am.
Awesome.
Okay.
Okay.
So, real basic here. So, we talked about med kits, blah, 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 blah. You need to know how to suture.
Suture. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, we're talking about some suturing materials.
Yeah.
Basically... Uh-huh. If you have some, so I talked a little bit about not having a stapler. I kind of think it would be good, but
do you?
To get like a small stapler, they're a little expensive. The bigger ones are just kind of bulky, but
yeah,
you know, closing wounds, that's basically my medical tip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got your sutures or you don't, or you've got tape, which you should have like stereo strips.
Uh-huh.
But one little quick technique, head lacerations, which are fairly common out there.
Yeah.
They
bleed like a mother effort.
They
too.
Do. So my quick tip is using your hair as suture. So
seriously?
Yeah. No, wow. It's a pretty common medical thing that you can do. We even still do it in clinics.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, you got a big head laceration. It's uh-huh. always good to kind of put, you know, a separator in there. So you put like... even just dental floss
uh-huh.
in the wound to lay it across.
Like long ways inside the wound or
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then you grab, you know, several strands of hair and just tie it together. Tie it nice and tight. Pulls it together. It's
wow.
pretty sterile.
You're not going to do that with my hair.
I will do it with your
hair. There's not enough. My hair is like half an inch long.
I know.
Long.
That would be kind of hard.
It's not going to work.
Your head needs a staple.
Oh, yeah, it does.
So
that's all you do, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting. So,
just basic stuff that you should have, you know, stereo strips, suture, but you can use your hair. And I would actually recommend doing that on your head.
Really?
Saving material, plus it'll close them pretty well.
Wow, that's interesting. So do you have to pull it out afterwards?
Yeah. And having the, like, you mean undoing the hair?
Yeah.
No, you don't, because it's not sewed in. So once it heals, uh-huh. either those knots will come undone or, you know, your hair just kind of falls
off. Oh, interesting. You're going to have to put that in an article form because I need to see.
So, yeah, head lacerations. That's cheap and easy. Just use
awesome.
Your hair.
Thank you, Cameron. That was just fantastic.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. So, once again, for you, the listeners of the Casual Preppers podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. So, let me make a suggestion here. Go sign up and download 1 Second After. It's available on there. Have you read that yet, Cameron?
What?
1 Second After. Are you listening to anything I'm saying?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
I haven't finished it, no.
You haven't? Okay.
But I'm reading it.
So this is a story about an EMP attack on American soil. It's a fantastic book. It's really, really good, and it's available at Audible. So to download your free audiobook, go today to audibletrial.com/casualprepperspodcast. That's audibletrial.com/casualprepperspodcast for your free audiobook. I mean, it's free. Guys.
Audiobooks are freaking amazing.
Yeah, they're amazing. While you're
my wife's
around,
addicted.
Is she?
She listens to them everywhere.
Oh, that's good. No, I think it's awesome. Yeah, you drive around, you put on that book.
Like when she's taking off her makeup and I'm trying to go to sleep, she will start a book.
Oh, really?
It's so ridiculous.
That's awesome.
But yeah, no, it's the best. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get a free one.
It,
for 30
Audible,
days, it's awesome.
Audible is amazing. They've got tons
they
of
do.
Stuff on there.
They
really do.
That's the one I use.
It's really the only place to get it.
It really is.
I don't care what anyone says. So yeah, audibletrial.com/casualprepperspodcast. Support them. Support us. Go and do it.
Yes, please.
All right. Also, come and see us at casualpreppers.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll see you next week, right, Cam? We're gonna
we
be
will
here next week.
Be here next week.
All right.
As always.